You have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I tell you, certainly thankful to be here this morning. Certainly have enjoyed the good Sunday school already and the song service, just beautiful. And I sat and thought about, you know, to hear these babies over here laughing and cutting up. That's just icing on the cake. It really is. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It's icing on the cake. It makes the song service sweeter to me to hear these children just singing out and goo-gooing and everything else. It's a blessing. It is. I've been in a place where there was no children, and that'd break your heart to have to think about things like that. So we're thankful God has blessed us here at Clear Branch. Inside, outside, we're glad we could be here together. Luke chapter 2. Verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days and they had returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. So here Jesus is 12 years old and he has went missing. So first of all, mama and daddy or Joseph, they've gone an entire day without even noticing Jesus is not with them. I wonder how many times we go an entire day and we don't even notice that Jesus is not with us. That, you know, we haven't stopped to speak to him or to, you know, commune with him in any type of way. We're just going about our business. And then we get to looking, well, I sure do need the Lord. And where's he at? Better go find him. Well, they go and look for him, and it takes them 3 days to find him. But what I want to get on our heart is this. This is not, we don't find him involved in some mischievous story like a 12-year-old that I know. You know, I remember when I was 12 years old. I remember when my boys were 12 years old and most any other boy. He wasn't involved in some mischievous story. He wasn't throwing pears at horses coming by in the gate. You know, I remember a time, Brother Ryan, whenever I got into some terrible trouble, and rightfully so, because me and the cousins were throwing pears at cars going by. And in our mind, you know, it's not going to hurt anything. It's just a pear, and it's not going to hurt a car. But one of them turned around and come told Mom and Daddy. And so I found out, it's, you know, you can get into some trouble whenever you're mischievous. And that was more than mischief, wasn't it? That's downright dangerous. But in my mind, I'm just a little boy. You have to learn. Boys have to learn. I think we about forgot that. We have to raise children up. You don't just throw them away. You don't just expect them to raise themselves. You have to raise them. Otherwise, those things are still happening whenever they're 40. And so we need to raise our young men to be young men and to know right and wrong. But Jesus wasn't doing anything like that. He wasn't tying the priest's robe to the chair. He could have been doing that. You know, and Freese met Mama and Dad. Where have y'all been? This youngin' is driving us crazy. But no, that's not the way it was. He wasn't sneaking on a private property to try to catch a fish out of Farmer Tiberius's pond. He was, you know, we don't find him sowing any wild oats. I hear people say, well, you know, children, they have to sow their wild oats. Well, Jesus was not doing that. There's others in Scripture that you don't find sowing wild oats either. So that is a deception that we believe that our kids have to do those things. They don't. You know, I think one of the greatest testimonies there ever been is not just one that, well, God brought them out of a life of sin, but God kept them out of a life of sin to start with. That's a beautiful testimony. One that was raised up to know the Lord. One that was raised up to obey their parents and raised up to know the Lord and be saved and seek to do the will of the Lord. Go back and look at Samuel. Samuel, you know, as a young boy, speak for thy servant heareth. He surrendered early in life, and that started with his mother surrendering him early as well. Jesus was in the temple, and he was astonishing the doctors, not just religious people. He's astonishing the doctors, hearing them. So he's listening to them. He's showing respect. He's listening to them, and he's asking questions, and they're astonished by that. He's probably asking questions. You ever had a kid ask you a question, and you just, I have no idea how to even answer that? Jesus is doing that. He's asking them questions, and they just, we don't have any answers. And they're amazed by that. They couldn't believe his understanding. They couldn't believe his answers. So not only is he asking questions, but he is answering questions. And they are astonished at this great understanding that the Lord has. And just as any mother and daddy would worry, Mary and Joseph showed up and they are amazed. They're troubled. They're worried. And Mary even says, how hast thou dealt with us like this? How could you do this to us? And, you know, he was there. They left. We look at it and say, well, he should have just been right there under them. He should have followed them, but they left. They left the Lord. The Lord didn't leave them. They left the Lord. A lot of times we wonder, well, Lord, where are you at? Well, did he leave us or did we leave him? That's important. The Lord is not going to leave us. He promises, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And yet sometimes we feel like the Lord's not near. Well, it was us that wandered off. But she said, we have sought thee sorrowing. And this is what I want to get us interested in this morning. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I must be about. Jesus, what are you about? I am about my Father's business. In another place, he said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, we could read in several different places, I must be about my Father's business. You know, my meat is to do the will of the Father which sent me. Jesus, what are you about? I am about my Father's business. I want to ask you this morning a very simple line of thought. What are you about? What makes you tick? What are you about? What defines you? Who defines you? What are you about? You know, we get that unlisted phone call. And I got this past week from Scott County. I got it from Beaumont, where I grew up. And every time I get that unlisted number, we have been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty. And I, when I see that number, I think, I wonder what that's about. It's got to be more than just about my warranty. They're not calling me 20 times a week and everybody else in America just concerned about a warranty. Nobody's that worried about my car. I'm not that worried about my car. Nobody is. And so I wonder, what are they about, really? Is there some hidden agenda that's going on here? What are they about? Well, we know what Jesus was about, don't we? We get around people and say, I tell you what, that guy's all about politics. He's all about, that's what he's about. That's how he's defined. We know what he's about. You know, this lady over here, she's all about makeup. She sells makeup. She does make that. That's what she's about. What are you about? I believe if you'd ask Americans, what are you about 50 years ago? We kind of had this motto, we're about God, we're about family, we're about country. What are we about? That was raised up. And we indoctrinated our countrymen, our boys. We taught them that, you know, we're to be about God first. We'll be about our family. We'll be about our country. But you know, if you asked people that today, you'd probably get a different answer. Unless we were just trying to sound old-fashioned. We're trying to sound like we come from a different time than what we do. We're a different generation of people than the ones that gone on before us. We just are. And a lot of times we want to pretend like we're something. How many of us wearing out our jeans these days, or do we buy them already wore out? What are we about? And I'm not, that's not an insult. I mean, that's just the way it is. I like that style. But there's a day whenever you didn't have to buy them already wore out. You wore them out. And then when you wore them out, you put patches on them and you wore them out again. It was a different time. And people were about different things. You know, if you spent your life on the farm and you trying to raise crops to live and animals and things like that, you didn't have a lot of time to wonder about which bathroom you needed to go to. You didn't stop and think about that kind of foolishness. You didn't have that to worry about. You had other things more important to worry about. But today God has blessed us, and those blessings, we have turned it around to where now we feel so entitled and self-sufficient, and we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. 50 years ago, well, what are you about? God, family, and country. Ask today, and somebody, if they were honest, might say self, self, and self. That's what I'm about. Fathers leave their children and their wives. Wives leave their husbands and their children. It's about me. It's about what I want. It's about me being happy. I deserve to be happy. That's the new motto for people. I deserve to be happy. At what cost? At all cost? We deserve to be happy if we have to step on the neck of somebody else to get there? What are we about? You know, shallow thinkers that in our day and time, we just really, so many people, we're not about much. Shallow thinking, and we're about living for the moment. Kick the can down the road. Kick the can down the road. So what if we're in debt? We just keep kicking that can down. Somebody else will pick it up later on. What are we about? I don't want to be responsible for anything or anyone. I know I've said this many times, but you've heard the saying, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. That's true, and we're falling. Whenever we're not really about very much. We don't have a lot that we're willing to stand for. We don't have something to say, you know what, I am going to stand here. I'm going to stand up for this. We're not about very much. I ask you again, what are you about? Child of God, we are to be about our Father's business. We learned in Sunday school last week, and hopefully you knew it already, but we have been born into the family of God and then adoption. We have, you know, when we were not sons, the Lord gave us the opportunity to be sons. And yet it's not like a normal adoption, you know, as far as you go out and you find a child that does not have a mother or father, and you adopt that child. But even more so, we are born into the family of God. blood, his blood hath made us one. We are children of God. We are to be like Jesus. He is our role model. Our role model is not some athlete. It's not some politician. It's not some man. It's God. He is our role model. We are to be like Christ. Be ye perfect, even as my Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That's what we're to be shooting for. And so if we're to be like Christ, he was about his Father's business. What are we about? When you think about your religion, what are you about? Is it just religion? Is it just to go to church? Is it just making sure that occasionally we come in and out the doors? Is it about making sure we put a little money in the offering plate? Or is it that I'm about my Father's business? That's what I'm about. There is a difference. And the difference is heaven and hell for a lot of people that are watching God's people. We say we are God's people. But does the world see God's people, or do they just see people that are playing the part? People that are not really standing for much. We just go to church here and there. Philippians chapter 1. You may say, "Brother Brandon, I feel like I'm doing pretty good. People know me. They know that I'm trying to be a pretty good Christian. They know I try to go to church. They know I do some good deeds here and there." If you were to ask the Apostle Paul, "Paul, what are you about?" What do you think he'd say? What do you think would be different between him and you? The Apostle Paul was not another man for another time. And those days are gone. We can be men of God like the Apostle Paul. We've seen it in our own lives. Men like the Apostle Paul didn't die out in that generation. We've seen it. We've seen men among us that live that way, and women. Look, we've seen women just like those of old. We've seen those, and we think, I tell you what, they're as close to God as I know. Why are we not? Why? And I say this, well, we hadn't grown up yet. Well, why is that not our goal? To be as close to God as we possibly can. We're about God's business. I'm not about my business. I'm not about somebody else's business. I'm about God's business. Paul, what are you about? Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What are you about? I'm about Christ. How much are you about Christ? Well, I tell you what, I'm about Christ, and if I die showing somebody Christ, whenever I die, I'm going to be with him, and I have gained everything. So what's going to stand in your way of being like Christ? Is death? When I read that, it does not sound like death really bothers him that much. I'm going to show somebody Christ until I die. My life revolves around Christ, my Lord, my Savior. I believe he can say this, it's not a game. I'm not playing Christian, I am a Christian. I'm going to be Christ-like. It's not my hobby. It's not something that makes my status better in the community. You think there's anybody that plays a Christian just so their status will be better in the community where they live? I believe we see it all the time. If I was dead honest, I believe you see it in me from time to time. I don't like it. It's there. Sometimes you just kind of... You get lazy in your Christian walk. You just go through the motions for a little while, and then God wakes you up. my goodness, I need to get back where I need to be with the Lord. You know what that is? That's something we used to call repentance. That's something used to bring men to confession. That we'd wet the floors with tears. I'm sorry I've wronged the Lord. I have gotten away from the Lord. I've wandered away from Him. And I want to be restored. I want to be back in good favor with God. I want to be back in good favor with my church. Because look, when we do things and we live a life that is not Christ-like and others see that, it is a hindrance to them. And boy, to do it go a lot toward repairing that hindrance if they see that we have confessed and we've repented of that we were doing. Repentance. Not a game. It's not a political advancement. Somebody go running for office. Next thing you know, all of a sudden, I go to such and such church. And if you were to go back and get the truth of the matter, they hadn't darkened the doors of the church in 10 years. But they affiliate with what advances them. It's not just a political advancement. Jesus is my life. That's what Paul is saying. He is my life. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Some are about the sleight of men and their cunning craftiness. Some are wrapped up in deception. And look, to be a Christian is just simply to be religious. And I'm not saying we're not religious. We are. There's this anti-religion thing that's going on in the world today. And look, I belong to a good old-time Baptist church. That's what I am. I'm that way not because of, you know, that's what it's named or that's because of what mom and daddy are or anything like that. I am what I am because God showed me the truth in this. And I believe that where I'm coming right now is as close to the truth as anywhere that I know. If I was somewhere closer, that's where I need to be. I want to be as close as I can to the Lord. I believe that's here. But it's not just about being religious as far as, well, I'm a good old feet-washing Baptist. I go to church. I go through the motions. I must be about my Father's business. That's what we're about. That's what Clear Branch is about. That's what we are. We didn't decide to plant Clear Branch here. God decided to plant Clear Branch here. This is His church. We get the privilege to be a part of it. And so if I'm going to be part of it, I need to be about His business. But some are wrapped up in deception, and we need to get away from that. David, what are you about? What if you'd asked him that as a boy? What are you about? I'll tell you what, you can go read the Psalms, and you can see about what he was about, even as a boy. I tell you what, as a boy, he went and faced a lion and a bear. You got to be about something if you can do that. If you're not about very much, you're not going, well, I tell you what, he may have took that lamb, but he can have that lamb. I'm not going after it. He was raised up to be fierce, wasn't he? You don't just get there by accident. That's instilled in someone. That's raised up. He watched somebody that was a great man of faith. He knew what men of faith were, and he seen that. And then he knew who his God was after some trials he went through. He had come to trust the Lord so much that Goliath didn't even faze him. What are you about? He was about something. What are we about? Mary stooped down and washed Jesus' feet with her tears. And dried them feet with her hair. That whole story is just, it's very emotional to me. I can't even talk about it. It gets to me. She was crying so terribly that she was wetting his feet with tears, and then washed them with her hair. And everyone glared upon her. And in their mind, we know what she's about. You ever looked at somebody and sized them up, don't even really know them, you just make some judgments based on first impressions? They looked at her, we know what that woman's about. I wonder how they knew, really. They probably wasn't as righteous as they made out to be either. How'd they know that? They probably seen her at a party on the weekend. We know what she's about. But then they go on and, well, if Jesus really was some prophet, if he really was who he says he is, he would know about this woman. He'd know what she's all about. He wouldn't even let her touch him. Jesus knew their heart. He called them out on it. And I tell you what he did. She may have been about one thing when she walked in the door. She was about something different when she walked out. That's what Jesus does for us. Jesus has made us more than what we were. He changed her course of life. She was about Jesus from that point on. Are you saved? This morning, I want you to think about that. Are you saved? Do you have a place you can go back to? You know you've trusted the Lord. You are saved. Well, the Bible says that you are a new creature. That old things passed away. And now all things have become new. Are you allowing yourself to go back and think like that old man thinks? Are you allowing yourself to go back and do those things the old man did? Well, I ask you again, what are you really about? What are you really about? Are you about me, myself, and I? Are you about something bigger than who you really are, what you are? See, whenever we get saved, there's something special about it. We get saved, that means we don't have to go to hell. That means we are a child of God. We have an inheritance waiting on us. God draws a heart to be baptized. The moment you get saved, God begins to work on you to be part of the church. You know why? Because through the church, we serve something bigger than us. We become about something that is more than just Brad O'Neill. We become about God's work. We become the body of Christ. We are about something much bigger than ourselves. There's a song, it's a contemporary song. Some of you might not know it, but it's pretty good if you listen to the words. But he says, if we are the body, why aren't our hands reaching? Why aren't our feet going? Why is our body not doing what it should be doing? For Clear Branch, I believe we are. This church is doing what it needs to be doing. But could you personally be doing more? Are you about you, or are you about your Father's business? Makes all the difference in the world. Are you about Jesus? If not, then you need to repent and you need to humble yourself and make life about more than you. Jesus is the reason for this season too. Last verse song.